Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Kama, Daf Lamed. We will begin Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph at the top of the Amud at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Shafich Mayim B'Rishus Rabim. If somebody pours water in the Rishus Rabim, V'Huzik Ben Acher, and somebody else got hurt with that water, Chayiv Ben Niskoy. The person who had spilled the water is going to be held responsible. Says the Mishnah, another halacha. Hamatznias a koitz was a schuchus, precious rabbin. Somebody put away thorns or glass in the rishus harabim. And as the Rishonim point out, the case of our Mishnah is regarding the situation where he did not put them away in a proper manner. So, or another pshat is he put them in a wall, the Mukha Yosef explains. And then he dismantled the wall. And then he didn't pay attention what to do with those pieces of glass or those pieces of thorns that are in the wall. The Hagoydes Gidra B'Koytzim, or somebody makes a fence out of thorns. The Gedra Shnafel Shus Rabim, or if the wall that somebody has, even if it's made out of stone, the wall falls into the Rishus Rabim, the Zikuban Acherim, and people get hurt from that wall. Chayiv Ben Niskoin, the person who did this is going to be held responsible for that wall. Says the Seder Rishonim, and we've learned this already. The case here of the wall is a case where somebody's wall was not in good shape, and he was told to take down his wall. But before he had an opportunity to take down the wall, so if he did it within the proper time, then his level of responsibility is much more limited, because then he's an onus. Here it's talking about a case where he waited and did not take it down as he was so asked to do. Others say that it's speaking about a case that we discussed in our previous year where the wall fell and the person whose wall fall is supposed to remove those pieces of the broken wall, and he didn't take it, he didn't remove them, and somebody got hurt. The Tosfos Yontif says, why does our Mishnah speak about Vehuskubach Erim Chayim Ben Niskon? Why does it say Beloshon Rabim? It should have been said that if somebody fell, the person who made the damage will be held responsible. So he says that this last statement of the Mishnah is going back to all the cases of the Mishnah and saying that in all the cases that were mentioned in the Mishnah, the person who caused this damage shall be held responsible. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Lo Shanu Elatanfu Kele B'Mayim. What is the case that somebody who pours water into the Rishus Rabim will be held responsible? Is when somebody poured water into the Rishus Rabim. El Nitlfu Kele B'Mayim. If somebody slipped and his clothing got dirty because of that water, Potter, then the person will not be held responsible, because the person who slipped did not slip because of the water. The primary factor in his getting hurt was karka olam mizikasoi, that the floor that caused him to fall and hurt himself. Amalei Rafuna l'Rav. Ask Rafuna to Rav, lo yehe ela karifshoi. If somebody pours their garbage into the Rishus Rabim, the halacha is that the person who pours that garbage into the Rishus Rabim is held responsible. So why, if somebody poured water into the Rishus Rabim and the floor gets muddy, will he not be held responsible? Answers the Gemara, Mi Savrit Eloi Tamu Mayim. Are we referring to a situation that the water is no longer here? The Mishnah speaking about a case, the Tamu Mayim, that the water got completely absorbed into the ground, and all that's left on the ground is some minimum minimal moisture, and the person slipped on that minimal moisture and hurt himself. And in that case, the primary factor is the floor, the earth of the floor of the earth. That's what caused him the damage. Says the Gemara, "V'tatlamli." Why did the Mishnah have to speak twice about somebody's kalim getting hurt through the water? We had that in the Mishnah, that in Daf Chof Ches Amud Aleph, where somebody's pitcher broke, and the water spilled out, and somebody else slipped on the water, and we just had our Mishnah teaching us this same din. What does our Mishnah? Why do we have to have the Mishnah mention it twice? And as the Pnei Yeshua points out, even though, as we learned in our previous year, the point of that Mishnah was to teach us the machloikis of Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda, as we discussed the concept of Niskbel Pesheya, if somebody trips, is he held responsible or not? The Gemara's question is, that's a very important concept to learn, but why was it necessary to teach our Mishnah again? Answers the Gemara, Chodem and Mesechama, one Mishnah speaking about the summer, the Chodem and Mesechishamim, and one Mishnah is speaking about the winter. The summer is being taught because a person should not be pouring water into the street, or shall say in the summer when the streets are clean. And the Gemara Geshamim is teaching us that even though it's the winter where the streets are dirty, and as we learned, and now we'll learn again, that you're allowed to pour water into the Rishus Rabbim, that doesn't absolve you from responsibility if that water does damage. The Tanya, as the Brisa teaches us, Kol Elish Amru, in all situations where Chazal teach us that Peskin Bibi Seyem, that people could open up their shutters or their leaders or whatever into the Rishus Rabbim, God from Eretz Seyem, they could have their sewers go into the Rishus Rabbim, but Moshe Chamein Rishus, they have no right to do so in the summer where the streets are clean. But Moshe Gishamim, in the winter, Yeshlam Rishus, they have a right to do so. However, even though they have a right to do so, even though if they have a right to do it, but if they do damage, the person who does the damage has to be held responsible. And Nemuka Yosef explains, why do we have to speak about the summer in the winter? Because if it would have spoke about the summer, because then it would be easy, that I had no right to pour the water in the first place. So that's why we have to learn that even in the winter, where you had a right to pour the water, you shall be held responsible. And if we would have only spoken about the winter, we would think that in the winter, you knew that you're pouring it into the street. So when you know you're pouring something into the street, you should know and you should be careful. But in the summer, the water maybe wasn't something that you should be held responsible, because you didn't really have intention to deliberately make the Rishus HaRabim dirty. The reality is, if you did it, you will be chayiv. So the Sefer Mishpatei Torah, based on this Gemara, speaks about a case where somebody has a store in a market, and he has a fruit store in the market, and he has permission, it's on his property, that's the way the market is set up, that you have your fruit stand in front of your store. So this person has his fruit stand on in front of his store, and he has grapes. And some grapes fell off the fruit stand and onto the ground. Somebody is walking, and he slips on the grape. So there are now two questions. And the person who slips on the grape grabs onto the fruit stand to help himself from falling and hurting himself. So there are two questions. Is the person who has that fruit stand with his grapes falling going to be held responsible? And is the person who grabbed onto the fruit stand going to be held responsible? So certainly, the person who owns the fruit stand is going to be held responsible for any damage that's done to that person. If the person slipped on the fruit, he's going to be held responsible, but he will not be held responsible for anything that happens to that person's clothing or any packages that he may be carrying. And the reason is that this grape that falls under Rishus HaRabim becomes a bar. So as we've been learning and will continue learning in the halacha of bar, if a person gets hurt because of your bar, you're responsible to pay for the damages. But we also learned bar v'loy kalim. But if somebody's kalim got damaged because of a bar, that you aren't going to be held responsible. If the person was walking, as we just learned in the Gemara, and it wasn't the grape that caused damage, it was the floor that he hit the floor that caused the damage. So we just learned in the Gemara, it was the karka oilam that did the damage. And if it's the karka oilam that does the damage, then you shall not be held responsible. If the person that had, now the person, as we said, grabbed onto the stand where he had the fruit. So here, the halacha differentiates between if it was the fruit, it was the stand of the person from which the grape fell, versus it was somebody else's stand. If it was the stand from which the fruit fell down, so the person who created the damage cannot be absolved if the person who fell used that stand to help himself. But it was somebody else's stand that he held on to. So there, the halacha is that the person who, even though he did it because he was trying to help himself, will be held responsible for the damage. Again, it may be connected to the question that we often discuss in our shir, that this may be considered an oinus, an oinus gomer, and maybe he's not chayiv. Similar question was that, and this question comes up, that people have stores and they're washing the floor of the stores. And then the water, particularly the way floors are washed in Israel, was poured into the street where people walk. And a person was walking on that street, the floor, the sidewalk, was obviously very slippery. And the person slipped and hurt himself. Were the people allowed to have their water go into the street? So the halacha is, as we just learned in the Gemara, that you are allowed to pour the water into the street, especially, as the Gemara says, in the winter. But that doesn't change the reality that the person, as the Gemara says, who does cause his water to fall into the street, is created a bar b'shus rabin, and he should be held responsible. Or a similar question would come up if somebody is washing the floor in his apartment and he's having the water go out onto the street and somebody walks right by and that water falls on that person and gets him dirty, there may even be worse. Because in the case where somebody slips on the water, it's a case of bar. And as we just finished learning, the halacha is that bar, you're not chayiv for kalim. But in a case where the person had his water fall on somebody's head, that might be more of a case of Adam HaMazik. And Adam HaMazik, there's no exemption for kalim. We learned in the Mishnah, HaMatznis HaKoitz, if somebody put thorns or glass into his wall and they ended up in the Shus HaRabim, he's obligated to pay. He's obligated for the damage. Says the Gemara, Amar B'yecha Loi Shana, only in a case where the thorns are sticking out into the Rishus HaRabim. Avo Mitzamtzim, if he keeps the thorns in his own property, loy, he won't be chayiv for any damage. Ask the Gemara, my Tamapata, why won't you be chayiv? Amar of Achab Rei Deravika, Lefisha Ein Darkon Shebnei Adam, Leschachei B'Solim. People should not be walking up so close to the wall. And since this person walked so close to the wall, which he shouldn't have done, he is going to be held responsible. So I saw that Rav Aaron Leib Steinman in the Sefer Yalsa Shachar says that the Gemara is very deliberate in its wording. It says, "Zufish ain't dakash b'nei Adam." People aren't supposed to walk so close and don't normally walk so close to the wall. We don't have that heter for animals. Animals don't have that type of intelligence, and animals do walk close to the wall. And if the animal walks close to the wall and gets hurt, you will be held responsible. Tana Rabbanan, Hamatznik Tzayisav Ezekiyosel Toi Koshes Chaveri, if somebody puts thorns or glass in the wall of someone else, or Bar Bala Koisel V'Sosis Koisel, and then the person where you put these materials in dismantled his wall, V'Nofal, and the wall falls, L'Rishus HaRabim, then the Lachitz Chayiv Hamatznik, the person will be held responsible. So the Muke Yosef differentiates in the case where they did damage after they fell onto the floor. In that case, the person who put them in will be held responsible. But if they did damage after they fell, if they did damage after the wall fell, that's when the person who put these materials will be chayiv. But if they did damage as the wall was being taken down, then the person who's taking down the wall will be responsible. This is only talking about a wall that is about to fall. If it was a healthy wall, a matzniya potter, then the person who put it in the wall is potter because he had no reason to assume that the wall is going to be knocked down. He put his wall, them in a safe place. The chayiv bala koisel, but the person who owns the wall will be held responsible. But here too, the Namukhi Yosef explains the Gemara. He says, the person who put these materials on the wall will never be held responsible because he had no reason to believe that this wall is going to be knocked down. The person who owns the wall but is not aware that people put this into the wall will also not be held responsible because he had no reason to believe that there are these type of materials in his wall. Only after the wall falls and he leaves it there, that's where he's going to be held responsible. But many Rishonim, Tosfos, the Rosh, ask, since I have a healthy wall that I know, and I therefore should know that it's quite possible that people are going to put things in my wall because they know it's a good wall, it's not coming down, why, when I knock down my wall, should I not be chayiv for not thinking about this? So they answer that as much as people put things into walls, why should I in any reason assume that somebody put something into my wall? And since I have no reason to think somebody put something in my wall, and moreover, I am not the owner of this wall, so that's why the halacha is that's why I won't be chayiv. For the person who put it in won't be chayiv, but the person who knocked down the wall is going to be chayiv. Says the Gemara, Amar Ravina, Zoy Samaris. Based on this Gemara, we learn the following halacha. Hamechasa b'boirei b'dilya shel chaveri. If somebody covers up his pit with somebody else's cover, and then bar b'al d'liva notel d'liyoy, and then the person who owns that cover took that cover, chay b'al bar. The person who made the original bar is going to be chayiv. And explains Rashi, that just like we say that I put the kites into the wall, and if I put it into a wall, that's a wall that I see is going to likely fall down, I shall be held responsible. Here too, when I make a pit and I cover the pit with somebody else's cover, I have to assume or I have to be concerned that somebody else is going to take this cover away. The owner of the cover is going to take the cover back, and that's why I'm going to be held responsible. And the Muki Yosef says, what part of what the Gemara here is teaching us is that I, the owner of the cover, not only may I take back this cover without because it's my cover, but I don't even have to notify the person who is, I don't even have to notify him that I'm taking my cover back. Now, says the Michel Shleimer, but let's say the person who dug the pit is a person that people are fearful of, or most people don't care about their cover. And if somebody takes the cover, they let them leave it there. So in those cases, the balabar, he says, will not be chayiv. Because in those cases, the person who covered his pit had every reason to believe that he did everything that he was supposed to do. And since he did everything that he was supposed to do, he will not be chayiv for what happened. Now, the Meiri asks a question. Our Gemara is speaking about a very specific situation that somebody dug a pit, used my cover, and now I take my cover back. So the person who dug the pit, under normal circumstances, will be held responsible. What would be if someone else took the cover? So the person who dug the pit could say, yes, if the person who owned the pit, owned the cover, took it back, it's his to take back. But if it's somebody else, that other individual had no right to take back the pit. That's one argument. The other argument that could be made is that, no, you had no right to use that cover. And since you had no right to use that cover, so anybody who takes the cover, therefore you should be thinking that cover may not remain on top of this pit, and therefore the pit is not properly watched, and therefore the halacha is that you will be held responsible. The Darkei Moshe makes an interesting, so the Meiri says, the person, even if somebody else took away the pit, will be held responsible. Another point that the Sma and the Darkei Moshe discuss is that even though I'm taking my pit, my cover back, why am I allowed to do so if by me knowing that I'm taking my cover back, I'm creating a bar, even though I wasn't the one that dug the bar, but why should I not be held responsible for not informing that person? So the Sma says that many different concepts that we've been learning in our shurim come here together. On one hand, everybody is responsible to make sure there's no damage. On the other hand, ovid inishtin el nafshe, I'm certainly allowed to take something back which belongs to me, which is the case in our Gemara. And the Sma wants to differentiate where if what I'm taking it back will create an immediate damage versus if it won't be immediate. He says, if it's immediate, so even though it's mine, I would have to notify. But if it's not immediate, and as we're learning in our Gemara, it's mine, so there halacha would be that I'm not responsible. Ask the Gemara Peshitta, why did Ravita have to tell me? I'm just taking back my cover. By the wall, the person, the owner of the wall had no idea what was happening. Here, the person who took the cover, as we just said, maybe have a little idea, should have notified Kamash Malon that he doesn't. Al Gemara just taught us the halacha that Ein Dakshal Adam Leschachek B'Ksolim. So the halacha that the Poskim discuss here is what's the halacha if somebody has a fence and he painted the fence and he didn't notify that there's wet paint. And now somebody walked by that fence and he got his clothing dirty. What would be the halacha in such a case? So Rav Shimon Shkop seems to say that he'll be potter. Gemara says, Ein dakshal b'nei adam l'schachi b'solim. I put up a wall. By me painting the wall, I know Al Gemara says that I have no reason to assume that somebody is going to go next to my wall, and therefore I should not be held responsible. However, if there is a case where even though it's my wall, but I know that people lean themselves on the wall. He gives an example, the Sefer Chashukei Chemet. People, sometimes, homes are right on front of a bus stop. And they have a stoop in front of that bus stop. And what happens is that people who wait for the buses are always sitting on the stoop. And he never said anything to them. He lets them sit on the stoop. And now he goes and paints that stoop and doesn't put up a sign that it's wet paint. So he says under those circumstances, the person who painted the scoop doesn't have any right to do so without notifying the people, and he will be considered responsible. It says they want to turn our baruch sinim rishonim. They would keep their glass and the thorns within their fields. And they would dig 3 tefachim deep. They would put them deep 3 tefachim. When somebody is plowing, nothing should prevent the plow from being able to go. Rav Sheshis, says the Gemara, what he would do with his thorns and glass, Shadle Benura, would throw them into the fire. Rava Shadle Bediglas, he would throw them into the river. And the Maral explains that the Machloikis here in our Gemara is what is the best way to get to discard of a Hezek. And again, not only is the best way, they were going in a way that should be Lefnim Meshur Sadin. So he says, the first mandament says that they dug it, says that digging, putting it underground is better than burning it. Because burning it, it's going to turn into ash, and the ash could be detrimental. Other holds, no, burning it takes it away much more than burying it. And the third shita says that throwing it into the river will transport this far away. That is the best advice. If somebody wants to be a chassid, somebody wants to go above and beyond what the halacha requires, the kayim mili the nezikin. And the Mukhi Yosef explains that the 3 nezikin mean that you have to, the nezikin means you have to learn and follow the halachas of Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra. And there's a beautiful verse from the Maral. We think a chassid is somebody who does good things. He gives money, he gives stock, he does chesed. Says our Gemara, doing that is of course very commendable. But what really is expected of us first is to make sure that we don't cause damage to anybody else. Rav Amar Mila Davis. He has to follow. Some say what it says in Pirkei Avos, and some explain Mila Davis means that he has to follow and the Derech Aviseinu, the Avos of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. That means he should be learning the Parshios and Bereishis and study the way these people lived. That will have a profound influence on how he should live. Amalei Mila de Brachas. So some say Mila de Brachas means properly saying Brachas, and others say that Brachas means Tefillah, that a person should be careful the way Mila de Brachas, the person should be careful in the way that he davens. So Masha explains that what do these 3 things represent? So Masha explains that people have to be shalom ben Adam lechaveroi, between him and other, between himself and other people, ben Adam lemakom, between himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person has to be b'shleimus atzmai. He has to see that he should be the way he's supposed to be. So that's why he says, when we speak about milam d'zikim, that's bein odom l'chaveroi. When we speak about milah d'avis, that's how I perfect myself. And that's shleimus atzmai. And when we speak milah d'brachas, that's a representation of ben odom l'malkum. Why are Mila de Brachas so important? So I saw that the Mefarshim, the Chasam Sofer points out, and others explain that we know that Avraham Avinu was the one that drew many people close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what was his method of drawing them close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He would serve them a meal and tell them, make a bracha. So we see the importance of making brachas. Moreover, I saw that these, why three things? Because we know the Pasuk says in Mishlei, HaChut HaMishulish, Loi B'Meheru Yenotek, something that's made out of three strands will be strong. So we should take on three things. As I said, many explain Mila Dazika means learning Baba Kama, Baba Mitzi, Baba Basra. And I saw that some suggest that's why the Gemara uses the word mili. The words, the zikin, are not really words. Why does it say mili? That by saying the words a divrei Torah, that's the way that a person becomes protected from doing the wrong, from being considered a chassid. And along the same line, I saw that the Satmar Rebbe explains, I think we said this part at the beginning of the Masechta, the name of the Chassam Sofer. If somebody wants to be protected, not to do damage to somebody else, what he should do is, he should learn Mili the Nazikin. By learning these Gemaras, which teach us about what is considered wrong, and how a person is supposed to protect himself from not doing damage, that is the best way that to control that he won't do damage. Another pshat that I saw, the Gemara says l'kayim milad nazikim, very much in line with what we're just learning. It's not just enough that you have to learn these halachas, but what the Gemara is teaching us is l'kayim milad nazikim. What we're learning in these halachas is that when we learn these halachas, we have to have them become absorbed into us, and we have to use them as a way to live our lives. I saw another pshat from the Yismach Yisrael that in all areas of halacha, we always know there's a difference between shogeg, emezid, oynes, and rotzen. But when we speak about nezikin, we have the Mishnah that we just learned, that other mu'ud l'olam. A person has to learn the lochus amilin nazikin, that he can't use the excuse. A person should not use an excuse where I was a oynus, I was a shaygig, I was an accident. A person should take the lesson amilin nazikin, that other mu'ud l'olam. The Meshe Chochma says that the three things that were mentioned in our Gemara correspond to what we say every day in Krishma, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshcha, b'chol moedecha. B'chol levavcha represents merely the brachas, that you recognize who is a chacham, who has a chacham lev. Somebody recognizes that everything comes from Hashem. B'chol nafshcha, that means the way we behave. And as we've been saying, what that means is by emulating the way our forefathers lived is the way that we should live. B'chol moedecha is nezikin, that we shouldn't cause anybody any loss. I also saw that the Eli Rabbah explains what does the Gemara mean by saying mili the brachas. He says, if you would, as we learn hilchas brachas, we learn the Mishnah said in Masechta Brachas akulon emam shakel ne'ir b'dvaray, by all foods, if you said shakel ne'ir b'dvaray, you're yotza. So technically, if somebody eats any food and he just makes a shahakal, the halacha is his yotza. But of course, that's not the way a person's supposed to behave. He's supposed to become an expert in hilchos brachos and know what brachos should be said and know all the hilchos brachos. And what the Gemara means to say here with merely the brachos is become an expert in hilchos brachos, know all of the halachos, and don't just say, well, I'll say a shahakal and that will be adequate. Says the Mishnah, Moitzi Tabna V'Kishna L'Shus Rabim. Somebody takes out his straw into the Shus Rabim L'Zvolim, where they will rot and they become fertilizer. And then V'Huzuk Benachas, somebody slips on them. Chai B'Niskoi. The person, if somebody slipped, I am responsible. V'Kala Koydim Ben Zocha. Then the Mishnah teaches us another halacha. Whoever is the first person to take pick them up becomes the owner of them. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer. Kol ha-makalkim v'shus ha-rabim. Anybody put something that could cause damage into the shus ha-rabim v'zikun, they cause damage. Chayiv l'shalim, yichayiv to pay for this. And the halacha will be that kol ha-koyim v'mzocha. The Gemara is going to explain what is the difference between the Tanakam and Shimon Gamliel. Ha-hoifich sagol v'shus ha-rabim teaches us the Mishnah. If somebody turned over the waste that he puts in the shus ha-rabim and Chuzuk ben Acher, and somebody slips in them, the person who did the turning over of the waste, Chayiv, he will be the one that will be considered Chayiv. So the Chashuki Chemed says that our Mishnah just says that anybody who causes damage in the Rishus HaRabim will be held responsible. So he discusses an interesting question. There was a street that had many potholes, and they couldn't get the city, the municipality, to fix them. So somebody went and he took tar, and on his own, out of his own pocket and out of his own time, he filled up those potholes with tar. And he put up cones around those potholes that nobody should get dirty from that tar. And somehow or another, those cones were removed. And now somebody walked on that tar. He had no way of knowing that there's tar there. And he got his clothing dirty, got himself dirty. He slipped. And he says to the person who put the tar there, you are going to be, you're responsible for the damage that happened to me by putting the tar there. And this person says, why should I be held responsible? I really did something very good. I wanted to help everybody. We have a terrible problem with potholes, and I wanted to remove the potholes, and now I'm going to be held responsible. So what is the halacha? So he says, as long as this person wasn't officially appointed by the municipality to do this job, so he has no right to do it. So even though his intention was so honorable, at the end of the day, he's going to be held responsible. Says the Gemara, Lame Masnista like Rabbi Yehuda. It seems that our Mishnah is not following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'shas Atzaz Volim, in the time where people take out fertilizer, or the Mitzvah is Zilur Shus Rabim, a person could take out his fertilizer to Shus Rabim, V'tzoivrei Kol Shloshim Yayim, and he can leave it there for 30 days, Kedei Shein Nishav, that people will trample on top of it, Baragli Adam, or Baragli Behema, by people walking there and animals walking there, because says Rabbi Yehuda Shamanas Kain Hinchi Yeshua's Oretz, when Yeshua gave us Eretz Yisrael, that was part of what he said, that that's permissible. So why does our Mishnah say that you're going to be held responsible? Answers the Gemara Field Tamer Rabbi Yehuda. Even you could say our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. My Rabbi Yehuda, that even though the halacha is that you're allowed to do so, you're allowed to put it out, but Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if after putting it out, it's going to do damage, the halacha is Mishal Mash Ezek. And the way Tosfos explains the Gemara, it's not to say that if I put it out, I did something wrong. I didn't do anything wrong, but I'm supposed to pay attention that it shouldn't do damage. Ask the Gemara for Tanan. We're going to learn a Mishnah on Das Samach Beis that if a donk of a camel is walking with a package in Rishus Rabim, and somebody put a candle outside of a store, and that's what caused the package to get burnt, the person who put the candle out is Chayiv. However, says Rabbi Yehuda, B'ner Chanukah, if it was a Chanukah menorah that was out, he's potter, Neshib Rishus, because I had a right to put my Chanukah candle out, my lav, because I had Rishus Bezdin. So you see, whenever I have Rishus, Yeshua game Rishus, Bezdin game Rishus, I should be allowed to do this? No. Chanukah is different because he has Rishus mitzvah. The Tanya B'Yudah M'ner Chanukah Potter, not because I have, it's because I have Rishus mitzvah. And as I saw the Rajba explains, the mitzvah of Chanukah candles was said that the way you're supposed to perform this mitzvah is by putting the Hanukkah candles outdoors. So I did the mitzvah the way the mitzvah is supposed to be done, and therefore I'm not held responsible. Toshma, says the Gemara, the Braisa says, Kol Eilish Amru, wherever Chazal said, Mataron with Kaltim B'Shus Rabim, the latter left things that could cause damage in Shus Rabim, and Meziku, Chayovin L'Shalim. And here it says clearly, Rabbi Yehuda Poiter, Amr Rav Nachman, so our Mishnah, so it seems that our Mishnah is not consistent with Rabbi Yehuda. Masnisin, Shloi B'Shlas HaZvonim, it's not in the season where people take out fertilizer. Rabbi Yehuda, in such a case where it's not the time of the year where fertilizer is taken out, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that I'm going to be held responsible. Rav Ashi Amar, Tav Nevekishnei Tanan, our Mishnah speaking about straw, Mishunda Masarki, they're very slippery, and because they're slippery, that's why I have to pay more attention. We learned in the Mishnah that if somebody takes out the straw to Rosh Hashanah, they call it Kodem Bem Zocha. Amar Rav, when we say this halacha, it's Bein Begufon or Bein Beshivchon. Both I could take the actual item, and also the fact that they got better because of people walking the Rosh Hashanah. Ziri Amar, but Ziri said Beshivchon, I'm allowed to take the value of what they went up in value by them being trampled in the Rosh Hashanah. Avaloi begufim, I may not take out the actual item. Ask the Gemara Maika Mifki, what is the basis of their machlokes? Says the Gemara Rav Sova Konsul Gufa Mishim Shvilchim. Everybody agrees that I'm not allowed to benefit from having left something like this in the Rosh Hashanah. So Rav says that Chazal took it and took it a step further, and I'm not allowed even that even the actual item somebody else could confiscate from me. And the way the Meiri explains the way the Meiri explains Ziri, because he says the purpose of a knas is not to make you lose money. The purpose of the knas is that you should not benefit from having done something wrong, and therefore only you lose the benefit, not the keren. Rav holds it's to serve as a deterrent, since it's to serve as a deterrent, so that's the only way it's going to serve as a proper deterrent is by taking away even gufan. Tanan, says the Gemara, our Mishnah said, ha'hoifach is a gol b'shus rabim, if somebody turns over gol b'shus rabim, the huzak ben, achen somebody else slips in them, chayiv. Vilu, on the other hand, points out the Gemara, on this case, it didn't say kol ha'koydem ben zocha, like Tani. The Mishnah didn't say that. Because it didn't get better. So if we're going to hold like Ziri, the Chazal only make a knas on what gets better on the amount that went up in value. Here it didn't go up. Since it didn't go up, I will not be held responsible. So we see that Ziri's collect. So tomorrow, no. Tan l'reisha v'din l'seifa. Here too, the halacha is that even the basic item that was put away, somebody could take. It wasn't needed to be repeated in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara Tanya Law, but didn't the Braisa say that if somebody takes them, asur in Mishim Gezel, so isn't that clearly a raya that I'm not allowed to put it there? And it says, Mar, ki tanya asur Mishim Gezel, akula misnisikai la'osim shekonavam zecha. In all the cases in the Mishnah where the halacha says that I'm allowed to take it, if somebody takes it away from me, the person who takes it away from me is considered a gazlan. V'loik tani hachi, but ask the Gemara, that's not what we learned in a braisa, the Tanan. Hamoitzit havna v'kitzel l'shus rabim l'zvolim. If somebody takes that straw to l'shus rabim to be used as fertilizer, v'hugzik ben acher, and somebody hurts himself, chayiv. B'niskoi, the person who put him out is chayiv for those damages. V'kala koydebem zocha, and somebody who takes it for himself takes it. Umutim mishum gezel, there's no issa gezel. It says the braisa further. V'hoifach is a gol rishus rabim. Somebody who turns over gol rishus rabim. V'huzik ben ach chayiv. Somebody who takes it will be chayiv. Somebody gets hurt, the person who took it out will be responsible. V'os mishum gezel. So we see that there's a very clear difference. There is no din of kol ha-kodem b'em zocha by golo. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, golo karamis. You're asking a question from Govel. There's a new rule. Davar she'esh by shvach, anything that benefits from being out in the Rishus Rabbim and being trampled in the Rishus Rabbim, like straw, that's where Chazal made a gzeira. And not only did Chazal make a gzeira, but kansu gufa mishim shvachai. They take the gzeira a step further. However, davar she'esh by shvach, but something that doesn't go up in value by being put out in the Rishus Rabbim, loy kansu, Chazal did not allow us to take that, and therefore, if somebody takes it, it's gezeila. Ibayilahu. So now ask the Gemara. According to the Manda Omer, Kansu Gufa Mishim Shavchan, Rav's opinion, that not only what it went up in value are you allowed to take, but you're even allowed to take the actual item. When does that, at what point does that rule kick in? Lalta Kansinan, that do we immediately punish the person for doing so? Or was the punishment the fine only kick in after it went up in value? And then Mukhi Yosef explains how do we understand the Gemara's question? Are we punishing this person for taking something into the Rishus HaRabim, which he's not supposed to take the Rishus HaRabim? And therefore, as soon as he puts it into the Rishus HaRabim, he's chayiv. Or is the punishment because he's benefiting from the Rishus Rabbim? So till he actually benefits from the Rishus Rabbim, he's not punished. Toshma, says that Gemamidah Karenin Golo. As we just spoke about Golo, since we see that by Golo, Chazal did not make a Knas, why? Because as we just finished explaining, because it doesn't go up in value. So we see that the Knas is dependent on the value. Ask the Gemara, Vertizbara, Karenin and Golo, when we want to speak about Golul, became the Lishnin Lai Rav Nachman. That before Rav Nachman said that Chazal always made a Knas. However, the Lach of the Basa, the Shari Rav Nachman. But once Rav Nachman taught us that Chazal only made a Knas by something that goes up in value, L'mikl Mir Magol Klal. Golul is entirely different and we can't bring a Raya. So says the Gemara, this machlokes that we've been learning between Rav and Ziri, if kansu gufa mishum shvachan or not, the Gemara suggests is a machlokes tanoim. The Brisa speaks about a shtar shekosu baribis, that there's interest, which of course we know is osur to one is we're not allowed to collect interest. The halacha is shtar shekosu baribis kansu naisoi. Somebody wrote such a document. And ain't a guy v'loisa can v'loisa ribis. The malva cannot collect not the principal nor the ribis divrei rameya. The chamayim guy v'karen. The principal may be collected, but ain't a v'loisa ribis speak may not collect the interest. So suggest the Gemara. Lemach Rav damek rameya. Rav says that the knas even applies to the principal. And Rav says here, the knas applies to the base, to the straw, holds like Rameya. Viziri, that says that the knas is only on the shvachin, is going to hold like the Rabbanan. Amlech Rav, to which Rav says to us, anoda amra fil Rabbanan. I can hold even like the Rabbanan. Because at kan lekan Rabbanan hasam, where did Rabbanan say that you don't lose the principle? El keren de betera. There's nothing wrong with lending principle. Aval hochen al gemara, keren gufo kamazik. You had no right to put the straw out. The zira amaloch, and zira says, I'm not amar filo rameya. My opinion can be even consistent with rameya. I can't come rameya hasam, al mshas ksiva davale shuma. As soon as he put interest into the loan, even if he didn't collect any interest, he already did an aveira. Because ziri says, if we look in the pasuk that speaks about the issur ribis, the Torah says lo simon olav neshach. The act just putting ribis, including ribis, is already the aveira. Here, the aveira avalach miyem demazik. Just because I put out the straw doesn't mean it's going to do damage. Says the Gemara lemikad tanoim. So the Gemara wants to suggest that the machlokes of Rav and Ziri is connected to this machlokes tanoim. The Brisa says a moitzi tavna mekizbo shus rabnos volim. Somebody takes out the straw into the Shusrabim that should be stamped on and become fertilizer. Vuzuk ben Acher, Chai ben Niskai. Ka Kaidim by Zacha, Vasurim Mishim Gezel. Rashim Gamaliel, I'm a Kal Makak Mishusrabim Viziku Chayavim Lashalim. Ka Kaidim ben Zacha, Umutar Mishim Gezel. So ask the Gemara, we need to understand what it says here. Hagufakash, Amrit Kala Kaidim ben Zacha, that Chazal said that if I pick it up, I could keep it. But then, for other comer, and then he says, Asur Mishim Gezel. But why is there Isur Gezel if I was allowed to take it? Elav Hachi Kamer. What must be shot in the Braisa? The Kala Kaidim ben Zacha Mishrachan, that the benefit belongs to me. The Surim, Surim Mishim Gezel Gufan, but the what was put out doesn't become mine. And therefore, if somebody takes it, he's taking something that belongs to me. So in other words, the Tanakama is saying like Ziri, and also Shimon Gamliel, like Ma'afil Begufim, Nami Kala Kadim Ben Zachar, because he's saying like Rav. Says the Gemara, Ziri is certainly going to have to say that it's Machloikas Tanoim, and the Tanakama is his opinion, not Shimon Gamliel. But says the Gemara, L'Rav, Milei Mechtanoihi. Does Rav have to say that his opinion is the subject of a Machloikas Tanoim, and his opinion is only consistent with Rav Shimon Gamliel? Amalak Rav, to which Rav says, the Kula Amla Kansu Guf Mishim Shvachim. V'hacha, the Machloikas here is a different issue altogether. Halacha Ve'emarin Kekam Efki. Sometimes the Halacha is a certain way, but we don't publicize the Halacha. According to the Tanakama, the Halacha is, this is the Halacha, but if somebody comes to ask us, we tell them, don't do it. And according to Shimon Gamliel, means we tell them, you're allowed to take. Tanakama says, don't tell people they could take the principle. Shimon Gamliel says, we could even say l'chatchila. Ditmar, as we indeed learned, Rav Amarav Halacha V'Eimayim Kain, even though so is the Halacha, we don't publicize it that way. V'Adbar Rav Amalacha V'Eimayim Kain, says the Gemara, Eini, is this indeed the case? The Rav Huna holds that we don't publicize this Halacha. Says the Rav Huna, Afka Chushli, there were barley that was left in the street, and Rav Huna said that they publicized that the hefka. Rav Adda Ba'ahava Afka Slikusai, the leftover of the dates that were left in the street. So says the Gemara Bishlam, Rav Adda Ba'ahava Kishmatzei. Rav Adda Ba'ahava was consistent. He says, Halacha Mayrikan, we could publicize this. But ask the Gemara, El Rav Huna, Lema Ba'adabay, and now he holds he could publicize it. Answers the Gemara, Hani Mitarim Haim. Here was a situation that the people who were putting out these items in the Rishus HaRabim were warned many times not to do so, and they ignored the warning. So even Rav Huna, who holds that a person who does this, we don't publicize it, that's only if the person who's perpetrating this wrong thing doesn't do it on a regular basis. But if he's doing it on a regular basis, we have no choice but to publicize that what he put out is hefker.